The Power of Others Podcast, Season 2020, Episode 24. Welcome to The Power of Others, a podcast about how we can leverage the power of others to learn, improve, and grow. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm a lifelong chief executive turned coach and soon-to-be peer advisory group leader, and I am your host here, coming to you from a balmy, steamy, extraordinarily hot Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Today, let's talk about humility. It is the path forward. Today's show is brought to you by thepeeradvantage.com. The Peer Advantage is an intimate, confidential, small, virtual peer advisory group of business owners from around America. You can learn more by visiting thepeeradvantage.com. Admittedly, humility is a trite topic when we're talking about leadership. It gets a lot of lip service, but it seems to get less practice. Humility, it sounds wonderful as a characteristic, and yet a lot of people seem to disbelieve that it has real power. And real power is largely, well, that's what folks really want, mostly. Those who have power, they can be really desperate to hang on to it. Those who do not have power can be even more desperate to try to get a hold of it. Making decisions, there's the name of the game. We want power, control, and authority because we want to make the decision. We want to issue the orders. There's no place for humility when that's the objective, so we may think. Let me tell you what prompted today's show. Before the pandemic shut down all of us, I was engaged with a number of groups about making a leadership presentation. They had similar desires. They were growing, developing leadership, aspiring leaders, emerging leaders. And even the existing leaders just wanted to be propelled even more forward. Each group had so-called leaders, but each group felt that leadership, for whatever reason, was largely ineffective. And at the heart of the conversations about how I might be able to help these people, we talked about culture, and this is a term that I would almost always insist on talking about. Specifically, I wanted to hear their own description of the environment, the feelings, the opinions of the group members, those things that we typically call the culture. And here are some of the words and the phrases that were used to describe the cultures. Keep in mind, this is how they described themselves, their own culture. And I'm going to throw some quotes here at you. Participation is sparse. Some are always chasing the spotlight for attention and power. Most of us don't speak up, ever. We're told our opinions matter, but nobody listens to most of the time, and so most of the time we just keep quiet. We're told what to do. Nobody ever asks us anything. Decisions come down without any discussion. You can't have a conversation because it feels like people already have their mind made up. Well, boy, all of these things really sound inviting, don't they? Keep in mind, these are how people are describing their own environment. Sadly, it describes too many groups, too many teams. Long ago, I figured out that leadership challenges largely stem from how people view authority. I don't mean their willingness to be submissive to authority. I just mean how people view authority, period, and how badly some people seek authority. In my coaching practice, I'm blessed because I always, and when I say always, I mean 100% of the time, I am commissioned to work with high achievers and high performers. I don't do remedial work. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my calling. By the time I was 25, I had learned that I was not a 0 to 60 guy, but instead I was kind of a 60 to 240 or whatever. I was that guy. That is, I am innately focused on taking an existing performance, whatever that level may be, and working hard to try to find paths and figure out ways forward to even higher performance. I was always the guy that, well, you know, sales are great and revenue's great and profits are great. And I was the guy that was always thinking, okay, well, how good could they be? Can we still do better? Because it dawned on me as a young man that an incremental improvement, if you're already performing at a high level, is vastly more profitable than dramatic improvements when performance is pretty lackluster. That is, take somebody who's performing extraordinarily well, make them 5% better, you're moving the needle. Take that person whose job is at risk. I mean, they may be on the cusp of being fired. Okay, improve them 30%. They're probably still going to be on the cusp of being fired. Improve them 50%. Okay, well, maybe they're tolerable now, but they're still not going to be one of your superstars. This was true, this kind of an attitude that I innately have. It was true in the businesses that I operated. It has been true in the teams that I have assembled. And now it is true for the people that I coach. For me, the biggest question is, can it be better? And if so, well, how much better can it be? And what can we do to make it better? What can we do to make ourselves better? Now, I say that to you because it's rare for me to encounter a client with a poor view of authority, in spite of the fact that some of these quotes that were given to me before this pandemic hit with people that wanted me to come and kind of do this in-person workshop, which obviously those all of that has kind of gone by the wayside. Well, there have been some virtual ones, but it was an interesting, these were interesting conversations as we began this insane year. My clients all lean very heavily into recognizing their responsibility, and they are all very intent on upping their game. And that, I mean, come on, that ought to make sense. Nobody's going to invest in executive or leadership coaching unless they're already a high performer. I mean, it just doesn't happen, not in my world. Now, along the way, we almost always will engage in conversations about lessons learned from the bad bosses all along the way. And we've all got them. All of us have had bad bosses. Invariably, we will have discussion about authority and why some people see authority as decision-making rather than service. And it's at the heart of a lot of leadership challenges because too many bosses lack the humility to lead. My focus on leadership humility centers on three things. And if you don't get anything else from today's kind of short podcast, then please get this. Leadership humility, my focus is on the three things that I believe are most fundamental and foundational for it, and that is curiosity, compassion, and understanding. These are the path forward for all leaders, even those who are already high achievers, those who are already high performers, and those who may have positions of authority, titles of position that give them power and authority. We can all improve our abilities in these three areas: curiosity, compassion, and understanding. They're the triad of humility. And the reason I focus on this triad of traits is because humility fosters these, and a lack of humility erodes these. The real focal point of humility, you know what it is? It's others. And when it's not about others, it is about us, but not in a selfish way. It's about our willingness to question ourselves. That's right. It's about our commitment and our willingness to our own learning, our own growth, and our own improvement. For what end? well, so that we can help other people do the same thing. Let me illustrate with a made-up story. An entire team is assembled in the room. There are no bosses present, only peers. That is, there's no one with a title, no one with a position. And this is a meeting to discuss an opportunity, a challenge. It doesn't matter. Take your pick. The purpose of the meeting is to have this first discussion about it. And these people, they are present in this room to provide their insights on the matter. They're trying to distill this thing. Yes, they're absolutely working toward a decision, but it's meeting number one. Each of them has a perspective that could be, big operative word there, could be valuable to the overall clarity. And as the meeting begins, one person, the self-appointed leader of the group, he takes command of the meeting. And he begins by stating his views on the matter as well as his suggestion on what ought to be done. And when he eventually winds down, he asks if anybody else has anything to offer. Well, he has instantly shut down more than half the group who just want to leave. They just want to get out of this meeting. They don't care at this point. Most of the people in the room are silently frustrated by his obvious quest to be in charge. But some brave soul pipes up and states a few opposing viewpoints. Doesn't do it in a conflicting or a strife-filled kind of way. And Mr. I'm in charge immediately discounts these opposing views and attempts to point out why these are not going to be the best course. Or as is quite often the case, in my experience, more so, Mr. I'm in charge just ignores it altogether. And then we'll ask, well, anybody else? I mean, it's as though this first person never uttered a word in one ear out the other. And this teaches the rest of the group that there's just not much point in speaking up because you're just going to get shut down. You're not going to get heard anyway. This happens in group meetings held in person or virtually all over the globe. It happens when no boss is present. It happens when the boss is present. Most people go along to get along. And all along the way, people are dying inside. All along the way, brilliant insights and ideas and suggestions are just dying on the vine, never uttered. All because somebody, driven by their own desire to be in charge, lacks humility. No curiosity about what others are thinking or feeling, no compassion for anybody but themselves, no desire to understand. But I have found that it begins with no urge, no willingness, no commitment to questioning themselves. No desire or willingness to get better because, well, you don't need to. You're already the smartest guy in the room. How can you improve on that? That's the great thing about high performers. They don't have to be convinced. They already believe in the power of questioning themselves and in having others question them. They already know the power of the collective inside whatever room they are in is infinitely wiser than they are alone. High achievers are committed to finding ways to better leverage the power of other people around them. And that's why these are the people I serve. But let's end with some potential bits of help, some tips that might provide a path forward, even for those who may be bent like Mr. I'm in charge. Number one, don't be the first to express your viewpoint. Hold your peace. Resist telling others what you think or how you feel. Respect others by first respecting yourself. Respect yourself enough to keep quiet. Number two, ask others what they think or how they feel. Solicit the insight from others with the aim of learning and understanding. Okay, maybe you got to fake it till you make it at first, but please have the intent, I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn and I really want to understand what they're saying. Number three, try to have compassion and understanding for where they're coming from, even if, and especially if, it opposes how you think and what you feel. You don't have to agree in order to embrace curiosity, compassion, and understanding. You don't have to agree with other people in order to demonstrate and to embrace humility in your life. Number four, solicit the quietest people in the room. They are often the more thoughtful, deliberate people. Okay, not always, but sometimes. They could be just the shyest. It doesn't matter. Lead the way to make sure more folks are involved. Humility is the path forward for you, as well as everybody else in your life. This is the great thing, and it's the number one reason why humility is the path forward, because nobody loses. Everybody wins. It makes you more approachable. It makes you safer. It fosters more insights from other people. There just isn't a downside to it. I challenge you to present to me a downside to humility. There isn't one. Now, fools think that it's the way of cowards. It's the way of low achievers. And they think that because they think that bravado and they think insistence is the path to authority. They incorrectly see leadership as authority. Well, they're not the same thing. They are not the same thing. People make up their own mind on who they'll follow or who's going to influence their life. Somebody imposes a boss on us. Doesn't make them a leader. Leadership's power is first over one's own pride and ego, and next, it's over one's ability to influence other people, because they know, they absolutely know with great certainty that their best interest is the primary consideration of the true, genuine leader. Thank you for being part of the Power of Others podcast. Find out how to subscribe to the podcast and how to work with me by visiting growgreat.com. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host, and I'm coming to you live, well, recorded, from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.